Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this, MC, is the best animated shows ever so far, where we watch, discuss, and then rank every animated show ever, eventually. How's it going, MC?
It's going well.
It's been, for the listeners, everything's normal, but for us, it's been a whole week, or we took a whole week off of recording this show, and my brain has forgotten how things work, which I didn't realize until I said, I'm Troy, and then I was like, wait, how does this show go? So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, we're in the discussion phase of Batman the Bold and the Brave. The Brave and the Bold.
Every
bold.
Time.
Yeah,
Brave
I know.
And the Bold. You got it wrong when you mentioned us on Too Young for This Trek, too.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of, y'all should go check out Too Young for This Trek, because I was gone for 2 weeks on that show, but they covered more episodes of Star Trek the Animated Series. So you should go listen to it, because it's good. MC, have you watched any good cartoons lately?
Other than Star Trek. I'm trying to think of everything that I've watched. There's been quite a few things. I did a bit more of One Piece.
Oh God. There's so much of One Piece.
It's so daunting. I'm like 800 or something episodes in, and it's still going.
I have never seen One Piece. I've never read One Piece, but there is they've made Warriors games, like the Dynasty Warriors series for One Piece, and I'm very tempted to buy them because they look really fun. I really like Hyrule Warriors. And even though I know nothing about One Piece, I'm like, maybe I'll just pick up a One Piece video game and that will be my only exposure to One Piece.
So, I've played one. It's really fun.
Uh-huh.
And you should get it. It's, I can't even remember what it's called now. But my sister's boyfriend is a big One Piece fan, and they play it together where you rank up your characters. And you just keep doing missions and running around and beating up people with special moves. It's cool.
It's, you know, the Hyrule Warriors one is really fun. Like, it's totally mindless, but, like, it's a great podcast game. Or it's great for co-op. Like, Becky and I played some of it together. We played the whole campaign together. Because it's just, it's just button mashing and really big, cool special effects stuff. Anyway, that's all I know about One Piece. What have I watched? Here's what I watched. We, like, last night were like, what's kids TV look like? What options do we got on our streaming services here? So we went through some kids television, MC, with a baby to see if anything caught his attention. And first we put on something that's like Barnyard Baby Bums or something. It's something on Netflix that's just like clearly somebody's YouTube channel where they like sing royalty-free songs and make CGI animated videos to go with them. And they put a bunch of those songs together into like a movie-length package on Netflix. But you know what? He liked them because they were stupid little nursery rhymes, and so Becky and I sang them too. And he's like, this is the coolest shit. You guys are saying the same thing that's on the TV. What the hell? then I put on Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. Because I've heard good things about Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, and maybe it gets good, but the first episode is phenomenally boring. It's about a tiger whose it's birthday, and so what's he going to have for a cake? And they have to, let's ride the trolley to the bakery, and then they sing a song about riding the trolley to the bakery, and it's just like, it's everything that I fear in children's TV.
I know it's a bit off subject, but have you tried The Wiggles?
I only know of The Wiggles from Daniel K. I have not actually, like, watched Wiggles except for one time Daniel K. I was like, hey, send me a playlist of some good Wiggles shit. And I listened to a bunch of Wiggles, and it was really fun. But I haven't actually watched, like, an episode of The Wiggles. But that's not cartoon, MC.
No, it's not. But that's why I said it was a bit off subject.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, though, on the gaming front, there's a game for Batman the Brave and the Bold, which I played a little bit of this week. I've played it before, but I played some more of it this week. It's really good. It's like a side-scrolling platform beat-em-up kind of game. It's the whole thing's co-op, so every level is Batman and a partner. So the first level is Batman and Robin. The second level is Batman and Blue Beetle. But then to bring in extra characters, they have an assist character that you get to pick each level, where if you press a button on the controller, that character just does like a special attack that attacks everybody on screen. And the whole game is like really well designed to look like the show. Like the character models match the show really well. So much so that when you do special attacks, it'll go into a little animated sequence, and it's like a flawless transition from the character model into the animated sequence. It's really good.
There's something about this show that I completely forgot about until it was happening in the show, and that's Batman's inner monologue.
Yeah, man. Like, I think feel like you and I have talked about that before, that like that's the thing that Batman's always missing in the movies, is they don't do an inner monologue, because that's like a staple in the comics, and this show does it. Like, I mean, the last episode we saw it with Blue Beetle, where he's like, Blue Beetle's a good kid, but he needs some guidance, because I really got to help him out to learn to be the hero he could be.
Yeah, I didn't really pick up on it until I watched more episodes, but I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing that happens in this show, because they wanted to do it more like the old comic books.
I don't know if the game does that. The game has, like, it's fully voiced, so there's, like, a lot of cutscenes where it's characters talking to each other and stuff, but I don't know if it does the monologue thing. It does do the cold open, so, like, when you start level 2, the start of level 2 is Batman and Blue Beetle go to Blackgate because the warden's like, check out these new, like, security systems we put in place, and, oh, no, somebody escaped who's some kind of a cat villain. I don't know who he was. And you just have to beat him up in the prison to recapture him. And then it plays the theme song to the show. And then it's like, all right, so anyway, Blue Beetle and I were on our way to Science Island to go stop Gorilla Grodd. And it's like, you have a cold open in your video game where, like, you do level 2 and the start of level 2 is a whole different adventure that just takes a few minutes. And then you actually start level 2. It's very silly, but very fun.
Well, we actually get that in this episode as well, getting back on track. In Terror on Dinosaur Island, Season 1, Episode 2 of Batman, The Brave and the Bold. Got it right that time. Plastic Man and Batman are...
No, you got it wrong. You were doing so good, MC.
What?
We can't go talk about the show without going to these messages first.
Oh, right. So, we'll get about... we'll talk about... Plastic Man and Batman right after these messages.
Hey everyone, Scott here with my good pal Rich. Say hi, Rich.
Hi.
And we're here today to tell you about a podcast we host together with our buddies Jay and Bill, the RPG After Years.
The After what?
The RPG After Years. Our show has entered into a new era of covering everything RPGs, both old and new. Thus, it is after its first era. It's the After Years.
I thought RPG was rocket-propelled grenade.
No, RPG stands for role-playing game. It's a genre of video game. Every week, we go through the latest news and discuss other relevant RPG-related topics. We also review RPGs as we complete them.
So an RPG is not a rabid Portuguese goose?
No, thank God. From Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy to The Witcher and Cyberpunk, we've got RPGs covered from the dawn of time to the far-flung future.
Oh, I've heard of Final Fantasy.
I'd hope so. So check us out on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening platform happens to be. You can also find us at probablywork.com. Level up your podcast feed with the RPG After Years.
Enjoy the show.
And we're back. That's right. I brought us back from messages, MC, because you threw us to messages. Yeah. So I brought us back from the messages. Hey, MC, what are we talking about today, MC?
Terror on Dinosaur Island, but we're mm-hmm. talking about the cold open of of the second episode of the first season of Batman the Brave and the Bold. So, Plastic Man and Batman are chasing a villain through
a Dia de los Muertos ceremony.
Yeah, celebration. It's like a parade, and it turns out it's a ghost villain. I don't remember him ever being a character anywhere else.
Oh God, I'm sure he is. Gentleman Ghost, yeah, he's got to be.
Yeah. But he's this weird guy who can phase through anything but metal.
Mm-hmm.
And he has other ghost-like powers, and he mm-hmm. kind of looks like a skeleton. He's like invisible, and then he kind of looks like a zombie almost.
Fact that he's invisible is weird, because Batman at one point in this interest is like, Gentleman Ghost chose a great day for this caper. And I thought it was going to be because of all the skeletons, because of Dia de los Muertos. But he doesn't look like a skeleton. So I guess he just meant because there's a parade going on.
He's invisible and he's riding a skeleton horse.
MC James Gentleman Jack Craddock was a notorious highwayman who robbed people in the English countryside in the 1800s. He became obsessed with immortality and never dying, which is the same thing. His search led to the world of the occult, and he found a mirror that let him make contact with a demon of the first hierarchy, Astaroth, and they made a deal together. And so in exchange for 10 human souls, Astaroth would grant his wish to be immortal. So he used the Wagner's horn to capture and retain the souls, and this granted him the use of a mystical king and ring to summon an ogre to aid him. And in order to keep the authorities occupied, he framed James Blood, an already infamous occultist based in London, as the perpetrator. But then he extracted his skull, and his victim was left in a ghastly catatonic state. And the bizarre rash of thefts eventually caught the attention of Sherlock Holmes, who was convinced that Blood was innocent, and reenacted the Blood's ritual in order to summon Batman to help him out. That's the thing that happens in the future of this show. And I started reading this from the Batman, the Brave and the Bold wiki just to read about the origin of Gentleman Ghost. But as soon as I got to it saying that Sherlock Holmes summoned Batman for help, I was like, oh yeah, I've seen that episode. I remember when that happened, when Batman and Sherlock Holmes teamed up. And it's great because Batman is basically just a modern day retelling of Sherlock Holmes in terms of the detective side of things. So this is Batman and Sherlock Holmes. The only thing that would make it better is if it was like, woo, 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 and then the TARDIS appeared, and then the doctor stepped out. But what's that? It's not just one doctor. It's all the doctors all got out in order to help Batman and Sherlock Holmes capture the Gentleman Ghost. So I thought that was going to be his origin in the comics, but that's definitely from this show, so maybe it wasn't helpful.
No, but they're chasing him, and then... Batman has his electrified cape that goes rigid so he can paraglide. Yeah.
I noticed that. That was super cool.
Yeah.
Did you notice in the last episode?
A nice little detail.
Did you notice this cape turned into a jetpack last episode?
No, I totally missed that.
I mean, he had a jetpack that was the same color as his cape. I think his cape just turned into a jetpack. Maybe. I don't know. But in this one, we definitely see it like, I mean, just like they do in Batman Begins, right? That's how he glides in Batman Begins, is that it puts a current through it and that makes it so it's all good at stuff. And then Fire shows up. Do you know the character Fire, MC?
Not really.
I don't either. So let me tell you about her. Born and raised in Brazil, South America, Beatriz da Costa grew up to become a spy for the secret service agency, Espianos Nacionales. Da Costa's first mission was to track down experimental equipment that makes a flammable material called pyroplasm. She was accidentally exposed to it and gained superpowers. And so then she's a superhero.
Fair enough.
Her outfit's green. I feel like and if you're going to be a fire beast...
fire.
I guess she does shoot green fire. Green flames! Yeah. I guess if you shoot green flames, it makes sense that your outfit's green. But anyway, she shoots a fireball at Gentleman Ghost, And then Batman captures her. And I know you're sitting here thinking, wait, I thought Batman was on this adventure with Plastic Man. Well, you see what happened was there was a bag full of money and it got cut open. And Batman was like, forget the money. And Plastic Man was like, save the money. And so he got distracted trying to get all the money.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then because, he shows up and he's like...
We'll get into Plastic Man's backstory as this episode goes along.
Mm-hmm. But for now, he's like, check it out. But, we stop the bad guy. And Batman's like, where's the cash? And he's like, it's in my pants, which is important because what he does is he's Plastic Man, for anybody who doesn't know, wears like a bikini outfit. He's like, it's like bikini pants and then a shirt and then sleeves. And he opens his bikini pants, like he pulls them aside at his hips and all the cash falls out. But that's important because in Justice League Action, it is explicitly stated that Plastic Man is not wearing clothes. That's just all Plastic Man.
Oh my god. Ew.
Yeah, that's exactly how Green Arrow reacts when Plastic Man tells him that. Or maybe it's Booster Gold. I don't remember. That show's also very good for bringing in, like, some less high-profile DC characters. Anyway, then we go into the theme song, and I just have to talk about it for a second here because it has been stuck in my head for, like, 3 weeks. This theme song is dope. Now listen, Batman the Animated Series has, like, the best Batman theme song ever possible. But this one is very good because it's very, like, retro. It's very Incredibles. It reminded me a lot of the music from The Incredibles. It's just like da 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 da. I love it. It's a good theme.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Cut to a yacht, MC, where people are having a lovely little party on the yacht, and they're drinking champagne. They're all dressed in the sky. What's that? Is that a bird? Is it a plane? MC, is it Superman?
No. Wait, no, is it Green Lantern? No, it seems to be a flock of pterodactyls.
Is it Wonder Woman?
No,
is it, there's a lot of
pterodactyls. A flock of them.
It's a flock of pterodactyls.
Yeah,
a flock of pterodactyls. Well, at least it's just random dinosaurs on a mission, not like they're being controlled by. Oh my God, there's gorillas on their backs.
Oh my God, and it's a Gorilla Grodd, and he's evolving people into apes.
He jumps on the ship and he's like, check out my E-ray. And then he shoots him with his E-ray, which turns them into like weird monkey-like creatures, which he's like immediately like, this didn't work the way I wanted it to. But oh well, let's steal all their shit anyway. And then they shoot harpoons down at the boat, MC, and four pterodactyls with gorillas on their backs pick up a yacht.
And fly away with it.
Those are very strong pterodactyls. I have many questions about physics. Actually, I don't have questions. I just know that that wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't at all. But, I mean, it's Gorilla Grodd. You don't think he's put, like, injections into them, made them, like, super strong and robotic?
That's too strong, MC. That's too strong. Four of them to pick up a yacht? That's too strong. Anyway, Batman shows up and they have like a fun little battle in the sky and Grodd's like, Batman, the one human who can challenge my intellect, which I was like, that's a cute line. And Batman crashes on an island.
Yep.
And Plastic Man's still with him. I forgot to say that. Oh, and he's talking like, this is where he has inner monologue where he's like, goddamn, Plastic Man is so freaking annoying. Like, I put my neck out for this guy to be like, hey, no, he's not so bad. And then he has to go and like try and get money and stuff, helping me capture Gentleman Ghost like an asshole. And all the while, Plastic Man's like, hey, Batman, we're the best for friends, huh? Should we do like a secret handshake together? And this is where the inner monologue comes in, because Batman hovers his finger over the eject button and he's like, one push. All I'd have to do is push the button. And I'm like, damn, Batman. actually considering hitting the eject button. He was thinking about it.
Yeah, but he doesn't in the end.
No. But they crash on the island. And this is where, like, the line that makes me love this series happens. Because Batman stands up and he goes, Dinosaur Island, a mysterious land that time forgot where the normal rules of nature don't apply. And Plastic Man goes, what makes you say that? And he goes, the dinosaur.
Yeah. He does say that.
It's the the dinosaur. It's my favorite thing. So dinosaur fight, right?
Yeah.
What happens in the dinosaur fight? I don't even remember.
No, it's not a dinosaur fight. It's more of Batman getting... I'm pretty sure... No, it's Rubber Man getting swallowed by a T-Rex and Batman running away.
Plastic Man.
Plastic Man, that's correct.
That's right. It's like a dinosaur chase, but then they eventually get to Grodd's secret base. And oh wait, is this where the we start getting flashbacks? So there's flashbacks throughout the episode.
Yeah, Kite Man, Batman showing up, and Kite Man gets tackled through a wall, and money goes everywhere, and they're fighting over bats.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, the guy who is supposed to be Plastic Man is shot out of the sky by Batman into because
he's one of Kite Man's goons in this flashback, and he gets his kite gets shot down. Kite Man, so this episode is like, hey, what if Kite Man, and you just have to go with it, like, but yeah, so one of Kite Man's goons falls in the vat of chemicals like you do when you're in Gotham, and it turns him into Plastic Man. And then later on in the flashbacks, we'll just cover the whole flashbacks.
Oh,
now.
Well, sometimes you turn into the Joker if that happens.
Yeah. Basically, Kite Man goes to jail, and they're like, hey, Kite Man's assistant, who's now all plasticky and weird, you should go to jail too. And Batman's like, hey, what if he hangs out with me instead? And the judge is like, all right, whatever, fine. And so then that's why, like, Batman's hanging out with Plastic Man is because he's trying to show him how to be a good guy. How to use his powers for good. Because MC, I don't know if you know this, but when you have powers that are like super good powers, it also means that you have like a responsibility to be super good with your super good powers.
Yeah, I can understand that. So jumping back to not the flashback, and we're back on Dinosaur Island.
MC, a mysterious land the time forgot where the normal rules of nature don't apply.
Okay,
it's the full titles: Dinosaur Island, a mysterious land that nature forgot where the or that time forgot where the normal rules of nature don't apply.
But essentially, there's Batman telling Plastic Man that there's traps and triggers on the island that will alert Grodd, whose base they're heading towards, and Plastic Man's like, I got this, they call me the eel, and then he slides through everything and then leans up against an innocuous tree.
And
nothing bad happens.
No, everything bad happens. The gorillas come.
All right.
Is the tree a sensor? I don't remember what happened there.
There's a trigger on the tree. There's like a plate and he's leaning on it.
Of course he did. So then fight scene happens and they're doing okay. And then Grodd is like, get out of here with your rubber self. And he flings Plastic Man into the jungle.
One of my favorite lines in this show is in this scene. And it's Batman again. And he says, don't try your mind control, because that's how Batman crashed his plane onto the island. He learned a technique in Tibet that he's now using to block his mind control.
Yep. It's very Batman.
Yeah, it's just like, out of nowhere. I've been to Tibet. This is, you can't mind control me now, even though it worked like 20 minutes ago at the start of this episode.
Well, he wasn't focused then, apparently. I like that. Like, it's you know, he's Batman. He has no superpowers, but he's learned everything he possibly can, and apparently that includes how to resist psychic gorillas. Batman's been captured. Plastic Man's in the jungle.
Yeah, because he's been flung because he was getting stretched between three different pterodactyls.
I don't know.
And he gets released and flung off into the jungle.
MC. Which show has better pterodactyls, this or Star Trek: The Animated Series?
I mean, this, just because the animation in Star Trek was pretty bad. It really was. And
they showed the same animation of the pterodactyls like 6 times in that episode.
Yeah, and it was the tentacles as well were just ridiculous.
Star Trek's a weird show.
Yeah.
It wouldn't do something ridiculous like have Plastic Man sneak back into the base, but then on his way to sneaking back into the base, there's some gorillas coming, so he has to disguise himself, and there's a shovel nearby, so he disguises himself as a shovel, and then the gorillas pick up the shovel, and one of them's got the real shovel, and one's got the Plastic Man shovel, and it has to use the Plastic Man shovel in order to shovel poop.
Yep. And the meanwhile, Batman's captured by Grodd and getting essentially evil villain monologue too, while 2 other gorillas pick fleas off of him.
Basically, Grodd's plot is, hey, I made this ray that evolves humans to their ultimate form, which is gorillas, and I'm going to fire it at just this whole region of the world, which includes, like, Jamaica and the Bahamas, and even Florida. And he says it like that, and I don't know why he says, and even Florida, with such, like, emphasis. It's very strange to me. But, listen, Tyler, Eric, our friends from Too Young for This Trek, we love you both, but you're going to be turned into gorillas now. Sorry.
Actually, Batman's freed himself, and he's attacking all the gorillas.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Plastic Man's no longer shoveling poop. Instead, he's sneaking in, and he's like, all right, I'm going to go save Batman. What's this? A room full of golden jewels. And so he takes a little break from his rescue mission in order to eat them all into his tummy.
And Batman's holding his own for a lot of the fight against multiple gorillas. And then Plastic Man shows up, and Batman's being hit with the ray.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, wait, did we skip Batman turning into a gorilla? Because Batman's a gorilla now.
It cuts away before he gets turned into a gorilla. Gotcha. And then when Plastic Man jumps in, he's like, he's a gorilla now. And he's like, you got a plan for this, right?
And Batgorilla's like, I've always got a plan.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Big action scene happens. Batgorilla's, he's swinging around, fighting the gorillas. Plastic Man's trying to fight the gorillas, but he's weighed down by money, and then he gets hit in the tummy, and he spits out some gold, and it bonks a gorilla in the face, and he's like, oh. So then he turns his hands into big hammers.
And then machine guns everything with
he
gold.
He just punches himself in the tummy over and over again and spits out gold. The whole rub here right now is there's a lever that will turn off the machine, just a big switch that turns off the machine, and Batman's trying to get to it, and he's swinging around, and he's fighting Grodd, and he gets so close, he touches the switch, but he gets pulled away from it, and you're like, oh man, he didn't have time to turn off the ray, and what's this? The ray goes off, MC, and they lose, and the whole Caribbean era turns into gorillas.
Didn't happen. Well, essentially,
it does go off. You gotta give me that. The thing happens. They just don't all turn into gorillas.
No.
Because this was Batgorilla's plan. His plan all along. He didn't flip the switch because he actually reached over and he inverted the polarity of the temporal forward mechanic displacer field or something, and it turns him back into Batman. And it also turned Grodd into a man.
And all the human captives who were turned into apes, semi-apes earlier, were also reverted back to human. And I'm pretty sure all the gorillas on the island...
Yeah. Well, and did it turn, like, other species, like, on the island? It seems like this could have very big, like, ecological impacts. But we're not going to worry about that. Batman saved the day.
I mean... Are the dinosaurs going to turn into, like, a human-lizard hybrid?
That's a good question. Is this how Super Mario's the movie happened? I just said Super Mario's instead of Super Mario Bros., but whatever. So then Grodd's a naked man, and Batman punches him in the face, and they save the day. And Plastic Man's like, hey, Batman, don't you worry. Here's all the jewels. Do you want to count them? I put them all back. And Batman's like, nah, it's cool, man. I trust you. And Plastic Man's like, oh no. Oh. And then he takes a big old diamond out of his ear because he was hiding it.
Yeah, and he puts it back. And that's where you see he's coming on his hero arc.
Mm-hmm. Because he lied to Batman? Because he was like, I put them all back, but he hadn't yet. And then Batman was like, I trust you. And he's like, shit, if you trust me, then I guess I should put it back.
That's, yeah.
I guess it's the start of a hero arc-ish, I guess. And then we see Crod's in prison and he's eating a banana.
He's still acting like an ape, even though he looks like a human now. Mm-hmm. A bald human, which is really weird.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who is the voice of Plastic Man MC? Did you catch it?
No.
It is one yellow, porous sponge that lives at the bottom of the sea.
Oh!
It's Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob and about half of the other characters. And...
That's true. that is very true. And the voice of Gorilla Grodd, I just want to check that real quick because I'm not sure, but I want to give him credit because I think this portrayal of Gorilla Grodd is very good. And so he stalled while he looked and tried to find out who the voice of Gorilla Grodd was in the show Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Just Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long. Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long.
Oh, snap, MC, you know who the voice of Gorilla Grodd in Batman the Brave and the Bold is?
Who?
It's John DiMaggio.
Oh, yeah.
Voice of Bender from Futurama and like a billion other things that you've seen. Apparently he's in Final Fantasy VII Remake as Heidegger, who is one of the guys who works for Shinra, I believe. Hey, MC. Yeah. That was Batman the Brave and the Bold, Season 1, Episode 2, Terror on Dinosaur Island. We're gonna now do best and the worst first, and I'm gonna make you go first. What's your worst?
I'm going to say the worst thing was, like, how they kept bringing up, like, he was money hungry, essentially. Mm. Like, he wanted all the cash, and then he was going to steal all the gems and gold, and then he had that big diamond in his ear, but it's also kind of his redemption that he gives it all back. I mean, Batman's trying to teach him how to be a good guy.
Yeah.
But it's still... They lent on it a little bit too much, I think.
I can see that.
They hit
that note several times.
Yeah, we could have done without the last diamond being pulled out of the air, I think. I think they could have just left it like, yeah, he's doing the right thing.
I think part of what makes that stand out is that happens in the cold open as well. Because usually on this show, the cold open is a separate story from the main show. But in this episode, the cold open is like Plastic Man's selfish and trying to get money. And then throughout the episode, it's like Plastic Man's selfish and trying to get money. And it's like, okay, I get it. He's selfish and trying to get money. Makes it, it's just, yeah. They hit that drum one too many times.
Yeah. No, I think we could have left out that last one, as I was saying. Like, he could have just had his redemption right then when he was hitting himself in the stomach to get...
Yeah, that was his redemption moment, when he was like, wait, I just need to save Batman instead of worrying about money. My worst thing also involved Plastic Man, and it was the poop shovel, because this show is silly and lighthearted, but I feel like it's above poop shovel jokes.
Yeah.
I feel like that's
It's
slightly too lowbrow.
Well, I mean, they're riding on Triceratops and...
Right. The pterodactyls, not Triceratops. But yeah, the show's ridiculous, but it doesn't have to, like, make poopy jokes in order to be funny. Like, it's funny on its own. My best thing, however, is once again, it's Batman and how silly he is in this particular incarnation of Batman. And it's the line that I talked about when we picked this show, where he says, "Dinosaur Island, a mysterious land that time forgot, where the normal rules of nature don't apply." How do you know that? Because the dinosaur. It's just the "cause of the dinosaur" is like, that might be my favorite Batman line in anything I've seen or read, is "because of the dinosaur."
I'm going to have to say my favorite thing was the origin story and how they weaved it in with flashbacks. I really enjoyed that, and we got to see where Plastic Man got his start.
Yeah, I like that a lot too. I'm kind of over flashbacks in general, thanks to Arrow on the CW, because that show just does flashbacks constantly.
Oh, yeah.
So much so, I don't know if you've watched. Have you watched the past few seasons? MC.
No.
I'm going to spoil. I'm going to slightest spoilers for Arrow.
I don't mind about spoilers.
When they ran out of flashbacks, because what they did is he was on the island for 5 years, right? And so season one flashes back to his first year on the island, and season two flashes back to his second year on the island, and so on and so forth. When they ran out of years to flash back to, they started doing flash forwards to the future. It's so dumb.
Oh, why?
They're like, "Hey, bet you wonder what Oliver's kid is up to in the future. We're going to flash forward and show you that." And I'm like, "No, but see, the thing about the flashbacks is that they inform the story that's happening in the present on the show." And the flash... It's dumb.
It's
anyway.
Silly. Okay.
So my best thing is that Batman's silly. What's your best thing, MC?
Yeah. I just said the flashbacks. I actually
Oh, you did say that.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember how we got onto the subject of flashbacks. I was like, "Wait, how did I start yelling about Arrow? I'm confused."
But yeah, like, we get to see his origin stories.
Mm-hmm. And Kite Man's in his origin story. Kite Man is in the second episode of this official DC animated television show. That's very good. You know who's on the next episode of this official DC animated television show, MC?
Aquaman.
I know. It's Aquaman. Also, are you
Black
an Aquaman
Manta.
Fan in general? I feel like I know that about you.
I don't mind an Aquaman story or two. I quite like the old Aquaman TV show as well, because of how like silly and ridiculous. Like, he is in the next episode, essentially. But
yeah,
even more
Aquaman
so.
Has a heck of a personality in this in this here series. So we'll talk about Aquaman next week on season one, episode 3 of Batman the Brave and the Bold, Evil Under the Sea. That's not how he would say it. He'd say Evil Under the Sea.
Yeah, I like that.
Is that a good Aquaman? Evil Under the Sea. He's, you know what?
Perfect.
He's the kind of guy who would say "old chum" at the end of the statement.
Yeah.
He'd be like, "Don't change the channel, old chum." Like that.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFcast or email us at BaseSFcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFcast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.